The reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. That's page 1164 in the church Bibles. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Wonderful, Sam. Thank you so much for reading for us. Do keep that passage open as we're going to be spending some time in those verses. And let me lead us in a prayer as we start. We just heard those words, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Our Father, how we praise you for those gifts that we've been thinking about this morning, above all for the gift of your Son and the gift of your Spirit. We pray that please, as we reflect on these things now, by your Spirit's help, and we would understand them and know how to live in the light of them and to your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder how you felt as we turned to that particular passage and heard it read. It's the kind of passage that makes a preacher feel a little awkward and a congregation a little nervous. We're talking about money. God loves a cheerful giver. And it's hard not to imagine that we've just got to somehow fix a cheerful grin on our face while we bear what's coming. Maybe you're new to us here and you're wondering, is this the kind of thing that happens every Sunday? Let me reassure you it's not. You've happened to land on the first Sunday, I think, in the 2.5 years I've been here, where I'm going to talk about the gift of giving, of our call to be generous. If you've been with us for a few weeks, you might be feeling that sense of nervousness about what's coming. You might also feel just a bit of a gear shift going on. We've spent 2 wonderful weeks thinking about God's great generosity towards us, all that he has lavished on us, all that he has given us. And now it feels like a sudden change of gears. The tables are being turned. We've heard about all of those gifts, and now this passage lands like the HMRC envelope on the doormat. Time to pay up. Well, actually, this morning, I think there is no reason for me to feel awkward or for you to feel nervous. And what I want us to see this morning, and this passage really helps us see it, is that there is a wonderful line to draw from God's great generosity towards us to the generosity he enables in us. He invites us and calls us into and blesses us with. There's something really wonderful to enter into in this passage. And Paul is talking about money. In particular, he's talking to a church in Corinth about money that he is hoping they will give to supply the needs of the church back in Jerusalem. They're in need. There's been a famine. They're struggling and they need some help. And Paul is speaking to them about that. But he is speaking to them about so much more than just that. Not just the 10% of what they might give, but the whole of their lives, how they might understand their place in the world and how God works, we're going to see this morning. Three things in particular for us to see. First of all, that God himself is a cheerful giver. It's been our theme for the last few weeks, hasn't it? That he has given us life and breath and everything else. It's mentioned down there in verse 10. Do you see there? Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Way of describing God. And it's a way of describing God that comes up in the Old Testament. And Paul here is quoting from Isaiah chapter 55. And the verses will come up on the screen. I mean, in Isaiah 55 we read, "The rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater." There's that phrase that comes in verse 10. Except what Paul is doing is he's taking us behind the curtain just a little bit further. It's not just the rain and the snow that produces those good things, that causes the earth to bud and flourish. It is God himself. He gives seed to the sower and bread for food. God is the one who causes the budding and flourishing of seeds and grains. It is so easy to take that for granted. But what we see is how cheerful a giver God is. Over the past few weeks, we've been thinking about some of his gifts, but just to dwell on some for a moment to see his great generosity. Think of the apple for a moment. A fruit capable of being adapted into, what have we got, about 7,500 different varieties of apple. God created it with all of that potential to be bred and cultivated in ways that have so many different textures, so many different tastes of sharpness and sweetness, so many beautiful colors from those russet reds to those acid greens. The incredible generosity of God just in giving us the apple. And then what God does is he takes something like the apple tree and he causes it to become generous itself. It kind of reflects him. So the apple tree gives its blossom in the spring. It gives fragrance to the air. It gives pollen to the bees. In the summer, it gives us fruit and it gives us shade. Its leaves in the autumn are going to fall and enrich the soil for the next spring. As you look around creation, you see God doesn't sow sparingly. He sows generously. And he's kind of weaved that into the world. His own generosity is there in all the different things that we see in creation. And the great preacher Spurgeon spoke about this as he preached on this passage, pointing his congregation to the generosity of the sun. Think of the sun, all of that heat, all of that light. And it doesn't keep it to itself. It shares it and spreads it and blesses the world through it. The moon, enjoying the reflected light of the sun, reflects it back out and gives light even to the darkness. God has created a world in generosity and a world that is wonderfully generous. Starts to make sense, doesn't it, of why God loves a cheerful giver? Because he himself is a cheerful giver because of who he is and how he set the world up. Spurgeon again speaks about how generosity reigns supreme in nature. You see it everywhere, he says. And so as he goes on to say, it makes no sense for us to be covetous and greedy. Here's a quote from him. "Everything in this world lives by giving, except," he says, "a covetous, a greedy man. And such a man is a piece of grit in the machinery. He's out of gear with the universe. He's out of date. He's out of place. He's out of order, out of God's order altogether. But the cheerful giver is marching to the music of the spheres." I don't quite know what that means, but doesn't it sound wonderful? That you're living in tune with how God has created the world to be. The world has life and gives life. And so we see there, glimpse the generosity of God. God loves a cheerful giver because creation itself is so abundant and filled with good things. And more than that, to be selfish, to be greedy, to be covetous, is to be out of step with how God has saved us. We were thinking in particular about that last week. The great gift of God in giving his Son and giving his Spirit. Let's think that just for a moment. It's extraordinary that God would lavish that sort of love on a world that rejects him. A world that thinks that apples just grow on trees and aren't actually gifts from his hand. A world into which he will send his Son to come and suffer for our sins that we might be brought back to him. And how has God given him? Not stingily, not unwillingly, but lavishly and generously.
Just hear how the Bible speaks about that gift. It speaks of the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, the abundant provision of grace that we've experienced. Where sin abounded, grace superabounded. In 1 John, John says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." Generous love. It is costly love. We heard those verses read just a few moments ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Well, we've thought of that idea this morning that God did not spare his only son. That language of spare, it's really unusual in Paul. He doesn't use it very often. He uses it in our passage in verse 6. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." In just a few months' time, Paul will be writing to the church in Rome, and he will say that God did not spare his only son for us. God in salvation does not sow sparingly. He holds nothing back. In the gift of his son, and so in the gift of his spirit. What's the action that's most often used to describe the gift of the spirit? The pouring out. That was the great promise in Joel chapter 2, that God would pour out his spirit in the last days. And so when Paul picks up that language in Romans 5, he says that God has poured his love into our hearts by the spirit. Abundant. Again, the apostle John says that the spirit is given without limit. So as we think of God, as we think of the picture of God that lies behind these verses in 2 Corinthians 9, we see God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, the one who has sown generously. The great generosity of God. He is a cheerful giver. So let me just speak for a moment. To those who aren't Christians, to those who are new to these kinds of things, you are so welcome amongst us. Let's get this right. God is not, as so people imagine, a kind of Scrooge in the sky. Somebody who is just counting the pennies and very disappointed if anyone takes any time off for anything. If somebody puts so much as one more coal on the fire to be warm or takes pleasure in one good thing. God is nothing like that. He is the source of every good thing that we have. The God who is abundantly generous in all that he has given for us. And if you take away just one thing from today, I want it to be that thought. Explore it. Come and find out more. We would love to show you how true that is, that God is a cheerful giver. And then, brothers and sisters, Christians here, I want us to see that this passage, with that in mind, with those last couple of weeks, with the things that we've been thinking about, there is an amazing invitation here to live in tune with who God is. And there is an amazing promise about what happens if we do. We're going to see, secondly, that God blesses cheerful giving. There's the principle, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7 speaks of this gift that Paul is trying to gather for the church back in Jerusalem. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So Paul says, he's been talking to them about this gift for some time. It's time for it to be gathered in. And he's saying, let's do this gladly, let's do it willingly, not under compulsion. What you can give generously, do just as God himself does. And then if you're thinking, well, hold on a moment. If I were to be generous, if I were to sow generously, I'm not going to have enough. My resources are going to run out. How do I do this? Paul knows what you're thinking. And so see what happens next. Verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God blesses cheerful giving. He enables it. He resources it for us. So will we run out if we start sowing generously? No. Do you see the language there in verse 8? How emphatic it is. All all things at all times, having all that you need. You will abound in every good work. Or that language of abundance, it's really the language of something overflowing. God is able to make grace overflow to you so that in all things you can overflow in good works. It reminds me of a park we used to visit when I was growing up. Just outside Birmingham, there are the Lickey Hills. And on one of those hills, there was a whole sequence of pools, a fountain of about, 10 or 15 pools coming right the way down this hillside. And it meant that you could climb up to the top, and the game when we were kids was to find a big stick and drop it in, and then you could chase it all the way down the hill, down those 15 pools. Every one of those pools filling up so that it could feed the next one. And then it could go on again and on again and on again. That's the image that we've got here. This picture of God promising this overflowing abundance, the supply of you, of one of these pools, so that you might overflow to another. And that source is never going to run dry. Always able to supply so that you can be a source of blessing to another. It's how God has always provided for his people. There in verse 9, it's a reference back to a psalm speaking about the life of God's faithful people. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. God has enabled that generosity and blessed it and loves to see it. Now let's ask, does that mean that God is going to make us rich? No. Look down again at verse 8 for a moment and we'll see it. What is God saying that he will give to us? He is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, having all that you need, you will be able to bless others. That's the idea. Not that in one of these pools you get to dam up the outflow so that more and more water can just gather in your pool. No. The whole idea is that it flows on. You will have what you need so that you can overflow towards others. Another way to see that, just to remember the pattern of Jesus. What have we been told about this morning? Jesus, the one who was willing to make himself poor so that others might be made rich, supplying the needs of others. God gave Jesus everything he needed for that task. It's another example for us here in the book of 2 Corinthians. Just a little earlier, Paul speaks about the church in Macedonia, also making a contribution towards this collection that Paul is making. And will come up on the screen. Paul will speak about the gift of their generosity. Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability." Okay, God's promise and faithfulness and blessing of them isn't to make them themselves rich. No, but out of their poverty, rich generosity welled up. And so God supplied what they needed so that they could be generous to others. You get the picture. God is inviting us into a kind of generosity that means we will see God providing what we need so that we can be a blessing to others. One pool fills up so that it can overflow onwards and outwards. At the same time, though, there is a kind of wealth that Paul is going to speak about here. It's where some of the language of gifts and richness merges. Is he talking about financial wealth? No, but he is talking about a particular kind of wealth. There is going to be a harvest of righteousness, and we will abound in good works. Paul is going to keep emphasizing that in the next few verses. Look down at verse 10. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Do you see that? Enriched in every way. I think Paul is saying that as you embrace this vision of how God himself is so generous and loves to see this kind of generosity
as he supplies those who will supply others, then those resources are never going to run out. And you will be enriched in all kinds of ways, in the joy and pleasure and delight of giving, in learning more and more to be those who don't hold on to things for themselves, but are glad to give them and to share them with others. This, in 2 Corinthians 9, is God's great economy. This is how God works. This is his business model, if you like. It would make no sense on something like Dragon's Den, would it? You know that show, the idea, you've got five business people, they've got on a table in front of each of them a big pile of money, and you've got people who have got some sort of business idea, and they're pitching for some investment. They want to get rich, and they're offering to make the business person a little bit richer. Everyone's in it for themselves. Imagine the kind of business pitch that we're talking about here. I'm looking for investment. Okay, what's your business plan? Well, apart from the very little I need, I'm planning to give it all away. I'm out, say the dragons, straight away. God says, I'm in. Yes, I love this. Let's do it. Okay? To see somebody who is willing to take, to receive from the Lord that they might pass it on, God says, yeah, you get it. You see who I am. You see how I've worked in the world. You see what I've done for you, and you're willing to be caught up in that, to be a part of that. When God's people start to live in that way, wonderful things happen. It's the last thing to see in these verses. Cheerful giving blesses everyone. Verse 12. Good things just start happening in every direction in these verses. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So as you serve, you are supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but there is also now thanks going to God for the generosity that you've shown. Then verse 13, because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. So other people are going to get to hear about it and they're going to think, wow, they get it. Those Corinthians, they know how God works in the world. They know how he calls us to this generosity, the same generosity that he's shown. They're going to be amazed and they're going to be praising God for what they've heard about these Corinthians. And in verse 14, in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Your generosity towards them is going to mean that their hearts are drawn towards you and they're going to be praying for you. They're going to be giving thanks for you. They're going to be praying that God would give you more so that you can give more away. This way that cheerful giving blesses everybody. Everything is better. The thanksgiving and prayers and the relationships that are forged, their hearts will go out to you. Bonds of relationship, of family across regions here, from Corinth back to Jerusalem, across racial lines, from Gentiles to Jews, these bonds are forged, this unity is deepened as giving happens. Good things happen everywhere when God enables this kind of cheerful giving. And we see it all the time here at Woody Road. As one of the pastors, I have zero visibility of giving, rightly so. I don't want to know who gives and who gives what. But we do get little insights into the ways that people give generously, into things like the Fellowship Fund, enabling us to give money to support others in need in the life of the church. We get to see those acts of kindness where people are giving up. It might not be money, but it's time and resources and everything else to serve others. We see the way that that produces such thankfulness and such closeness between us. I think of a mission partner, many of us will know them, who is just so good at finding ways to give money away. Give me money, he says, and I can send it in 100 directions and use it wonderfully. That's what we're talking about. That's what we see so often here and so often encourages us as we see people living in these ways, marching to the music of the spheres. Understanding who God is, living in the light of his generosity.
trusting that as we seek to give, he will go on enabling and resourcing that, because that is how God works. So how might we embrace that just a little more?
Let me give you a few thoughts as we finish this morning.
First of all, we must start with God, with our picture of God.
If we see him as that Scrooge, that kind of rasping and grasping, squeezing blood out of a stone sort of a God, then we're going to be miserly in our own way, and we're going to fear him and doubt his provision. But to know that he is this generous God who has provided us life and breath and everything else, who has abundantly poured out his Spirit, who has unsparingly given his Son, then we're going to be moved towards that sort of generosity. And as I said earlier, if you haven't got that in place, please go no further. We'd love to talk to you about who God is, how generous he is. And then number two, I hope this is a helpful way to put it. Give 100%. What do I mean? I don't mean empty your bank account this afternoon. What I mean is look at your life and see that every good thing that you have has come from the Father's hand. It's all from him. And so you can use all of that in his service. That's what we're talking about. Not just what we give away, but also the things that we have, the things that we buy for ourselves. How can we use those things to glorify God? How can we use those with an open hand? There is nothing that we would want to hold back from God. We would gladly give everything. So as we look around our lives, we're not thinking, what is the little portion that we might give to God, the amount of time that we think he deserves, but rather we're thinking with all of our lives, how can I use this to bless others? That's the heart of God. That's the heartbeat of the universe that we've been talking about over these weeks. And then just as we think particularly about our financial giving, how might we think about that? First of all, don't think of financial giving as tax. I learned a fascinating fact this week. Last year, 4,409 people submitted their tax return on Christmas Day. 4,500 people decided Christmas Day was the day to do your tax return. There might be a few people here thinking, yeah, that's sensible, it's quiet. I can't understand that for the life of me. I can't tell you what they're thinking. Why they did that. I can tell you what they are trying to work out, though. They're trying to work out, how much do I have to pay? That's the tax question, isn't it? How much do I have to pay before I know what's mine? What's left to me? And that can often be the question that we bring to this whole question of giving. How much do I have to give before I know how much is left for me? Rather than thinking of all that we have as belonging to the Lord, and really asking that question, how much can I give? That's the Lord's mindset. That is how the gospel teaches us to think. Not about that thing that we have to pay before the rest is ours, but rather to think of it as all belonging to the Lord. And so maybe to pick up an image from this passage, fourthly, to think of financial giving as sowing. It is such a helpful image in this passage, isn't it? That promise of, if you sow, then a harvest comes. And inherently, that is something more life-giving and multiplying than the seed that goes into the ground. It's part of what's so helpful about this. It might be helpful to rethink your bank balance in that way, however big or small it is. Maybe not to ask, how many pounds do I have? Pounds is about weight. Maybe to ask, how many seeds have I got? How many seeds in the bank? My banking app at the moment won't allow me to relabel my bank account to tell me how many seeds I've got. But in my mind's eye, I want to try and think that way. I want to try and see what I have received, not as my pot minus whatever I give to God, but rather to see it all as seeds for generosity, as seeds for blessing. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I give thanks to God for the ways that that is wonderfully true amongst us. May we embrace that more and more, knowing that's who our Lord is. That is how he's treated us. Let's pray.
Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Our Father, we praise you for that greatest gift of your Son and our life in him. And Father, we thank you for this glimpse into your economy, into the ways that you work in the world, resourcing others that they might go on to be a blessing to others, and that we might play our small part in that way that you are so determined to bless, to be generous, to do good in your world. So, Father, we pray that please you would help us to look over our lives and to think that all of these things are gifts from your hand to be used in your service. Father, we pray that that would be true of our time. That would be true of our attention and those that we spend time with. Be true of our friendships. It would be true of the ways that we use our homes. It would be true of how we allocate the seeds that you've given us and the money that we have. Father, we pray that please in all these things you would help us to trust you, to see your abundant provision, to rejoice in those things, to give thanks and to glorify you for the things that we've received, to be the cause of thanksgiving and praise where we're able to be generous to others. Father, we ask it all to the glory of your name. Amen.